Our reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9, reading from verse 2 to verse 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him and led them high up a mountain, where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked round, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The story we've just heard from Mark 9 has become known as the Transfiguration of Jesus because it's one of the few times that Jesus' human body is transformed into a presence that demonstrates that he is no ordinary human. He's God in human form. The Transfiguration comes straight after Jesus has told his disciples that he's going to die, which you can read about at the end of Mark 8. While previously the disciples have had lots of hints and indirect references to Jesus' forthcoming death, this is the first time Jesus tells them directly. Not surprisingly, the news hadn't gone down well, particularly with Peter, who by no coincidence is present here at the Transfiguration to witness the miracle of Jesus' transformation from human to the manifestation of God. The Transfiguration is God revealing a small, short-lived insight into Christ's heavenly glory so that the inner circle of his disciples could gain a greater understanding of who Jesus was. It's also symbolically showing that Jesus is light where darkness has no place, which must have been a massive comfort for them as they prepared themselves emotionally for the loss of Jesus to come. The disciples, who had only known Jesus as a man, much like themselves, now had a greater realization of the deity of Christ, man and yet God. We know from later accounts that they still didn't really understand that completely. Just go to the resurrection stories to see that. Even then, the disciples were thinking of Jesus as fully human, unable initially to grasp that he had risen from the dead as promised. Today, we know the whole story. We have all these accounts in the Bible to go back to. And yet, most of us still find it really hard to understand who Jesus is, accepting that he is fully God and yet also human in the form of his Son, even though that's actually at the heart of what makes us Christians, followers of Christ. The fact is that God is, quite simply, beyond full human understanding. We're never going to fully understand. Wednesday marks the start of Lent, the 40-day period leading up to the events of Easter when we practice abstinence and spiritual introspection aimed at strengthening and refreshing our faith by seeking to understand God better, by deepening our relationship with him. Lent tends to be seen as a somber period with most of our attention on the crucifixion, that incredible sacrifice that God made when Jesus was crucified on the cross for us. But I want to bring us back to the Transfiguration because as the disciples were battling the darkest of thoughts as they started their journey of coming to terms with the death of Jesus, God gave them this experience of great light. The book of Genesis in the Bible tells us that light was God's first thing, the first thing he provided as he went about creating the earth and all that's in it and on it. Without light, very little would exist. It's light that gives life to the plants, for example, and without it, it's highly unlikely that humanity would survive. Just think about how the darker winter months can get so many people down. It's widely accepted from scientific research that SAD, seasonal affective disorder, negatively affects people's well-being. Interestingly, of course, the treatment for SAD is receiving more light. Yet in spite of light being essential for our well-being, lights, which are too powerful, can be harmful. There's lots of debate around at the moment, isn't there, about LED headlamps on cars being so bright that they dazzle and blind to the point of causing collisions. There's a disturbing trend of pointing lasers at aircraft pilots, causing damage to their sight and risking a crash. Welders have to wear tainted goggles as the extreme light that they face could blind them. And we can't look directly at the sun, because it too, as natural as it is, as wonderful as it is, damages eyesight. When God reveals himself through light, he reveals his extreme power with light that is often too much for the human eye to bear, like the sun, for example. Back in the Old Testament, Moses' face was so alight through meeting God that he had to put a veil over himself to safeguard anyone who looked at him. And that's not looking at God, that's looking at a poorer, dimmer reflection of God. At the Transfiguration, the light isn't so powerful that it causes a risk, but it's powerful beyond anything humanity can replicate at that time. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. In this moment, Jesus' closest friends and disciples see their leader in a new light, literally, as he's bathed in the glorious radiance of his heavenly Father. Now, this isn't the last time his followers see him in such incredible light, but the next time is after his death. Let me read Matthew 28, verse 3. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. I think it's really important to recognise the significance of God's use of a powerful, miraculous light in the presentation of Jesus. Unlike on other occasions, Jesus' light is not too bright. It's not so dangerous for those who encounter him to look at him, to look at the light in him. This light is to be witnessed so that it's possible to recognise Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, God himself. Jesus said in the Gospels, like in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So as we head into Lent later in the week, yes, let's reflect on the darkness of the crucifixion, but always keep our eyes fixed on the light of the resurrected Jesus, a light which overcame the darkness of death, which offers us life in all its fullness now, a light in our dark times and a light which sustains our life, much like the sun sustains life. But this light gives us life for eternity. Jesus, the light of the world.